Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, the Rockies Insider, giving you a little bit more on the reliever notes. Some kind of good, a little bit bad. Jake Bird, what's going on with him? And Bo Bichette. I talked about it already this week, a few days ago, about the potential for him signing with the Rockies. I got a little bit more on that. They kicked the tires on it. And some father and son home run historical rabbit hole that I'm going to love diving down. But first, the news with Seth Halvorsen is kind of good. I mean, it's bad, but at the same time, it's definitely better than you would have imagined, especially considering how he left the game on Saturday, walking off with the trainer. He wasn't holding his arm or elbow, which is a typical response for a guy who is used to this kind of injury or knew that such an injury was possibly going to happen. That is the thing about professional athletes, is they might already have an injury. They might be banged up somewhat, but their job is to go out and play through that. And, you know, I don't know what the odds are. Is it 7 out of 10 times it ends up being fine, or it ends up that injury never fully comes to fruition? But 3 out of those 10, if I'm just picking up numbers, but 3 of those 10 times, boom, it explodes on you. And you've just destroyed the only body you will ever live in for the rest of your life. That's crazy that athletes have to deal with that, but they do get paid and compensated for that. So the news with Halvorsen, he got the examination on Sunday, didn't necessarily care for the results, if you will, got a second exam since the first one was maybe a little bit inconclusive, but ultimately we've got ourselves a mild right flexor strain. And what does that mean? I talked about it earlier this week that it could mean he's back again at some point this season. And yes, that is a big maybe. And while on one hand you might say, you know what, just get Tommy John, get it over with so he can be back and under club control for 3 healthy years. Sure, but at the same time, not everyone needs Tommy John surgery when it appears that they need Tommy John surgery. Halvorsen also already had TJ once. He had it as a freshman at the University of Missouri before he transferred over to Tennessee. So he had that surgery in 2019. And when guys get 2 Tommy John surgeries like that, that can threaten a career. That can be a death knell in so many different ways. So you don't want that for Seth Halvorsen. You've got time to figure these things out. He's not even arbitration eligible. He's still just going to make the league minimum next year. So I'm not going to say you kick the can down the road, but you do certainly have to just wait it out, because the best case scenario may still play itself out. It still could be a good ending. What that means for the Rockies is Victor Vodnik is going to be that guy. Juan Mejia is option number 2. If Vodnik's unavailable, or if you're not crazy about his performances, but those are the 2 guys right now in the 9th inning. I'll preview that Diamondback series, of course, tomorrow, a 3-game set getting started down in Phoenix. And then the Diamondbacks come back next Thursday, a week from today, on the 14th for a 4-game set, followed by a 4-game series with those Los Angeles Dodgers. You might have seen that the Yankees earlier this week optioned Jake Bird to AAA. So Rockies won the trade? No, you can't say that. You also have to notice the fact that the same fate befell J.P. Sears of the Padres after San Diego gave up the 3rd overall prospect in the entire sport to the Athletics. They also got Mason Miller, of course. But man, that bullpen is just insane right now. You know, they say what you will about the Yankees going out and getting, you know, those arms and David Bednar, Jake Bird, and the 3rd guy, Camilo Duvall from the Giants. But what the Padres have is just ridiculous. 3 All-Stars, Roberto Suarez, Jason Adam, who they got last year at the deadline, you might recall from the Rays, and then Adrian Morejon. Jeremiah Estrada has a sub-3 ERA as well. And then they add Mason Miller. That's 5 significant relievers. We've not seen a bullpen like that in a long time. When you consider the fact that relief pitchers are throwing more innings in the postseason than starting pitchers, yeah, San Diego is looking to make a major run. Now, can they win the West? It's still up for grabs. You know, do the Dodgers really care about that? I don't know how important that is to them. I know that their game plan is to get into the postseason as healthy as possible. And so if you're going to do that, but you have to play one extra round, does that change the mathematics that much? I don't know that it does. So I don't think they're going to push all of their chips to the middle of the table just so that they can have an extra 3 or 4 days off and then also have a home field advantage. I don't think that concerns them all that much. It would be great to not have to deal with those extra three games or best 2 out of 3 games. But I think the Padres really do have a chance. The Padres do have the 29th most difficult schedule remaining. That doesn't sound very good, right? Except the Dodgers are number 30. That's right. They have the two most hardest schedules, both in the NL West, separated by not that much right now. And considering they've got 6 more games against one another, all the Padres have to do is win one more than a break even, right? Instead of going 3-3, they go 4-2. You gain 2 games in the standings, and you've got a shot to win that National League West. Now, I joke that, sure, the Rockies won the Jake Bird trade because he just got optioned down. But honestly, it doesn't matter that Jake Bird got sent down. It doesn't. He's going to come back stronger than ever. You know, the Yankees are mixing and matching guys. Not a great look for them. You know, Yankees fans are probably going wild about it. Not so much about giving up the 2 prospects that they had to give up for Jake Bird, but just the fact that they could have done a little bit more. You know, could they have gotten a guy that was a lot more effective, like Tyler Rogers, who went to the Mets, or Yoan Duran for the Phillies, or Mason Miller of the A's? Yankees got a little bit frugal, and maybe that's coming back to bite them. But the better question then, did the Rockies win the Jake Bird trade, is did you make the future of your franchise brighter by trading away a piece that was probably not going to be critical in 3 years? And the answer to that is yes. You can feel good about it. You can feel good about it now, knowing that it doesn't really matter what Jake Bird does going forward. What matters is that you increase the odds of your future being better. Does it not guarantee it? It doesn't guarantee it when a team like Milwaukee or Tampa or Cleveland makes a really shrewd move to acquire a prospect, and you just know they're going to have won that trade and crafted and created a new superstar. Sure. But even still, those teams don't know that it's going to end up that way. It's also why the Rockies honestly should feel bad about not trading Marquez sooner or for not trading Halverson at all. I understand why they kept Halverson for a series of reasons, all of which are fine. He was still controllable. He was still affordable. And the fact that he's going to be around for 5 more years, you can maybe squint and say, hey, if we're going to be relevant back then, we can use a guy like that. Sure. But none of those are reasons for how or why the club has gotten better in the future. It isn't. Again, in that what would it be, a 5 or 10% scenario where you say in 5 years from now, you're a contender and now you've got a really good closer and a Seth Halverson? You know, I've just thrown a number out there, but what are the odds of that happening? What are the odds of Seth Halverson staying healthy and still being a really good reliever at a role that is the most volatile in all of baseball? It's really low. That's why you trade Jake Bird, you trade Herman Marquez when you have the opportunity. You don't know when he's going to get hurt, but you do know that you've had a lot of players that you're thinking about trading, and then they end up getting hurt, and now you can't trade them. Rockies, unfortunately, did not learn from that lesson, from many lessons over the last 4-plus years. All right, Bo Bichette got me thinking a little bit more. He is a potential free agent signing this offseason for the Rockies. I haven't seen any projections yet, but just from my own gut, I would say that Bichette would probably get something similar to what Trevor Story got from Boston ahead of the 2022 season. That was 6 years, $140 million. So it's probably going to be a little bit more than that. Bichette, Story, kind of on that same level, but we are talking, you know, 4 years later down the line. So there's going to be, you know, a slight upcharge on that with inflation. But even if it is somewhere close to 6 years, 140, that's in effect another Chris Bryant kind of contract. Now, how much money the Rockies are actually getting back in insurance for KB is entirely unclear. Don't know. But his 2 home run game on Monday night got me thinking, is Bo and Dante Bichette, and I didn't actually see this note anywhere, but is Bo and Dante Bichette the first father and son duo to ever record multi-homer games at Coors Field? Probably, right? But let's dig into the history. First off, sidebar, since I was talking about Trevor Story before, Story did it 13 times, tied for third most in Coors Field history, and it only came in six seasons. Larry Walker also tied for third 13 times, did it in parts of seven seasons. Todd Helton, who's number one, he did it 20 times, 20 multi-homer games in 17 years, of course. And then Vinny Castilla, 15 times in parts of nine seasons. Going down on that list, that was the order of most multi-homer games, scouring the list, looking for father and son duos. And sure enough, right there is Matt Holliday. What are you betting on occurring first? Matt and Ethan Holliday to become the first multi-homer father-son tandem to homer at Coors Field for the Rockies, or Bo Bichette and Dante Bichette? Of course, if Bo does sign, the odds of Bo doing it before Ethan Holliday are...
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Just infinite, right? We know that. But you have to take that shot that Bo is going to sign with the Rockies. In fact, maybe the better odds or the best odds are for the Karroses. That's right. Eric Karros in his career actually had four multi-homer games at Coors Field. Kyle, already in AAA right now with the Isotopes, is definitely going to debut before Ethan. He's probably going to debut this year. So he'll have played with the Rockies before Bo even gets a chance, but will he be able to hit two homers in Denver before Bo is here? Question mark, asterisk, we don't know. And can the city of Denver really hold more than one Bo? We already have Bo Nix. Now we're going Bo Bichette? Yeah, I think we could deal with that. Bichette can play some third base. Maybe Karros goes over to first. Could he play second base? I think Karros is too big. They said that about DJ LeMahieu, and he was fine. Maybe Bichette's more over on second base, and you keep Karros at third. Rockies could have some interesting options if they do make that move. You're probably thinking, how many players have actually hit or recorded multi-homer games, two or more home runs in the same game at Coors Field? Not even including Mile High, which was two seasons, but still. How many players do you think have done that? Take a wild guess. Multiply that by three. That's right. 244 different players have gone to Denver and have left with a two homer game. Incredible. Preston Wilson did it 5 times. Now his stepfather / uncle Mookie Wilson hit only 67 home runs in his 12-year career. Did have one multi-homer game, came in Philadelphia, but it came in a game that was started by his Mets teammate, Dwight Gooden, who is the uncle, but not stepfather of Gary Sheffield. So yes, Preston Wilson, Mookie Wilson raised him. That's who he considers his dad, but it was his uncle and became his stepfather. Good story there. How about Mike Piazza? Speaking of different fathers, you're going, wait a minute, Patrick, his father played in the majors? No, not exactly. But Mike Piazza, 4 multi-homer games. His godfather, that's right, Tommy Lasorda, had 1 base hit in his 3-year career as a player. He was a short left-handed pitcher who later did draft his godson and did grant his godson a big wish by using his 62nd round pick on Piazza as a courtesy. And you know what? That worked out pretty darn great for everyone involved. Moises Alou, 4 multi-homer games at Coors Field. His father, Felipe Alou, his last season was in 1974, so before the Rockies were around. I thought, well, you know what, maybe Felipe played in Denver at some point, and he probably did in 1957 when he was with the Minneapolis Millers of the American Association, which was the same league as the Denver Bears, but Felipe never even homered that entire season. How about Andrew Jones? 2 multi-homer games. When his son Drew Jones was drafted 2nd overall behind Jackson Holliday in the 2022 MLB draft, it felt bound to happen that the D-backs prospect would follow in his father's footsteps. Drew has not been playing very well in the minors. Unfortunately, he's not really a top 100 prospect. He's doing fine in high A right now in the Northwest League. He'll turn 22 this offseason. He'll still have an opportunity to make some noise in the majors. No doubt that he will get his shot in the bigs. Craig Biggio, believe it or not, did have one multi-homer game back in 1995. His son, Kevin Biggio, he has played in Denver with Toronto. I actually had a conversation with him, wrote an article about that relationship and some of the memories or lack thereof from Kevin Biggio from the 1998 All-Star Game and Home Run Derby. Kevin Biggio was on the field with his dad in 1998 in Denver for the All-Star Game and the All-Star Game festivities. Go search that article out if you'd like. And then Tony Gwynn Jr., believe it or not, did have one multi-homer game at Coors Field. His son, Tony Gwynn Jr., none. Only had 7 career home runs for Tony Gwynn Jr. And yes, one of them did come at Coors Field. And yes, it was when he was with the Dodgers. Ivan Rodriguez had one multi-homer game. His son, Derek Rodriguez, was in the Rockies system for a while as a AAA pitcher, never got called up to make his Rockies debut. Benji Hill, G-I-L, Benji Hill had one multi-homer game at Coors Field. His son, Mateo Hill, was a part of the Nolan Arenado trade. He was in the Rockies system, unfortunately, still has yet to make it to the majors. He was a Rule 5 draft the same year that Isaac Collins was a couple of years ago. Now Isaac Collins just won the July NL Rookie of the Month, has a chance, in fact, to win the Rookie of the Year award in the National League, a Rockies prospect that the Rockies, frankly, did not have enough belief in or did not place enough value upon. And then Brett Boone, part of the great Boone family, his father, Bob Boone, I'm sure played in Denver many times back in the day, but never against the Colorado Rockies. It's funny talking about Trevor Story because, as you probably know by now, Warming Bernabeu on Monday was named the National League Player of the Week, first to do that since Brenton Doyle did it in last July when Doyle was the player of the month in the NL in the month of July. But Bernabeu, the first rookie for the Rockies to win it since Nolan Jones won it on the final week of the season in 2023. And Bernabeu is one of 3 Rockies with at least 3 homers within his first 6 games. Tom Murphy did it first back in 2015, and he kind of was not valued well enough, and he ended up having a really solid, still is having a solid big league career elsewhere. And then the other that everyone remembers, 7 home runs in his first 6 career games. That would be, of course, Trevor Story. And yeah, Trevor Story was the AL Player of the Week this week. Just incredible. You just love to see stories like that. No pun intended whatsoever. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and the Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Appreciate you dropping by this audio-only edition. The momentum you've provided me, man, it keeps me going each and every day. But unfortunately, that kind of momentum, it can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.